Welcome to Sound of Truth Weekly Interview, where we hear about how God is at work in people's lives and in the world today. We're excited you've joined us. Here's our host, Brett Marani.
I'm on the phone again with my good friend, longtime friend, Greg Merks, who currently serves as a pastor in suburban Houston, Texas, originally from Alabama. You can hear his faith journey, his testimony, his story in our previous episode on Sound of Truth Weekly Interview. But I've invited him back to talk about one of the things he's become passionate about over the past few years. And that is, Greg has a passion for wanting to help Christians see the importance of Christ-like dialogue, is the way I'm going to phrase it at this point. Greg, what do I mean by that? When you hear me introduce you with that topic, and by the way, welcome back to Sound of Truth Weekly Interview. Glad you're here.
Thank you. Good to be here again. I'm actually interested that you chose that phrase. We didn't actually talk about that, but you saying Christ-like dialogue is exactly what I had on my mind.
Good.
As we were entering this, I was thinking along those lines myself. So it's kind of interesting that we didn't discuss this. You just threw that phrase out there and it fits perfectly.
Yeah, it'd probably be what I title this particular episode, The Importance of Christ-like Dialogue.
That's wonderful.
So tell
That's
me,
good.
let's get this ball rolling. How did you become interested in this subject? How did the Lord put this on your heart? You know, in our intro, where my son, that's my son, by the way, in the intro, introducing the podcast, he says, in this weekly interview, we are wanting to see how God is at work in people's lives and in the world today. This is something God's been doing in your life, is giving you a burden about this particular issue. How did he do that?
That's a really good question, Brett. And my short answer is, I'm not sure. It just kind of happened. You know, I think part of it probably is just the world we live in. We're all kind of exposed or likely to be exposed to all sorts of cultural stimuli, maybe we would say, things in our culture that we notice, we're aware of. And now that many of us are connected through social media, we're having conversations about that, or maybe less than conversations. We're having moments of input and constant exposure to ideas about some of these things. And I think I just started noticing several years ago that we, as the body of Christ, as Christians, believers in Jesus Christ alive today, we should know, and I think many of us know, many of your listeners know, we are called to be different. We're called to be different than the culture. But a lot of times we equate that with, we're supposed to be different than the bad things that are happening in the culture. And we normally categorize that and as it relates to sexual immorality or any number of behaviors that we kind of know that are identified as bad. But sometimes we don't realize that one of the ways we're most identifying with an ungodly culture is the way we're engaging these conversations about culture and even in our social media platforms. We're kind of just jumping right in and doing things the world's way instead of being different people that are characterized by Christ-like behavior.
Okay. You mentioned on social media and you mentioned these cultural conversations. Can you get a little more specific? Are there any particular types of cultural conversations you've noticed in which Christians have perhaps not been exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit in their dialogue?
There are several, and you're well aware of them too, I'm sure. We obviously have become a highly politicized society. I think people identify more now with their political views than ever before, at least in my lifetime, I should say. I think politics was always something that people were aware of, and then they would vote. You know, vote when it was time to vote, they would vote on candidates that they felt like shared their values. But now we tend to be in that political world 24/7 all the time, not just in campaign seasons. And so I think I've seen Christians engaging in the political speak, in the political conversations, much more in the last several years. And sometimes our behavior is less than Christ-like in those conversations. But it's not just limited to that. It could be anything, you know, any of a number of things that seem to be the issue of the moment, which is always something that seems to rise up. And we talk about it for a while, and then we move on to the next thing. But any of a number of things that pop up from time to time, whether it be a school shooting that happens or whether it be racial tension that takes place, or whether it be economic issues that are going on. Sometimes the news cycles come around and we kind of get on board the conversations about this thing. And I think it's when we do, we need to be careful about the behavior that we're exhibiting. And as we've been using that phrase, we need to be engaging in Christ-like conversations, Christ-like dialogue.
More recently in our history, we could add to that masking or not masking, getting the vaccine or not.
Yes, but I've actually just completely written off 2020 as if it never happened. No, I'm teasing.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it was also 2021 with Delta, kind of took it to another level again. So for a couple of years there, we had a lot of angst and a lot of debates and arguments and sometimes heated arguments among Christians on those topics.
Well, I think you bringing that up is exactly correct in the sense that that may be the apex of how Christians became involved in the conversation, and things became almost out of control in that everybody had an opinion, and now the need was for my opinion to win over your opinion. And so with COVID and the masking and the vaccines and those things, now Christians began to become even more vocal, I think. And not all Christians. I mean, the other part of this that we haven't talked about yet is that Christians are disagreeing on so many of these issues. And so it's not just our dialogue with people outside the church about these things, but it's our dialogue with each other about these things that's turning into really an un-Christ-like direction in many ways.
How do we foster a Christ-like dialogue where we're willing to seek to understand first instead of being understood, and listen more than we proclaim why we think our opinions?
That's good. That's good. What you just said, the way you worded that. I think in one sense, and we've begun our conversation with this, is it's just basic Christ-like behavior. So much of this is taught in Scripture, and it's taught in the passages of the New Testament where the church is being instructed on how to live, who to be, what kind of character we should be demonstrating. I think about Colossians 4, where Paul says, walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of the time. And he says, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Listen to what Paul says there and compare that with the way we today respond to what Scripture referred to there as outsiders, those outside the church. Is it possible that they're not hearing gracious speech from us, but they're hearing us be more gruff and argumentative and accusative and insulting? And so I think it begins with just basic Christ-like behavior. You mentioned a minute of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These all have to do with relational things, right? These all, in one way or the other, either directly or indirectly, connect with our relationships with other people. And when we are the church as we should be, then people look at us and they see that fruit. And I mean, this is what the Holy Spirit is producing in us as followers of Christ, and it should be recognizable. It should be noticed. I mean, just basic Christian Christ-like behavior and the fruit of the Spirit, it begins there. But, you know, there's some practical stuff too, you know, that I'm not as good with the practical stuff as I am the thematic things, like the fruit of the Spirit, because the practical stuff is when we have to make decisions in the way we speak and what we say and what we do. You know, I was thinking about this as it relates to conversations that we might have with others about whether it be political things or cultural issues, or if it's one-on-one or if it's on social media. You know, there's a word that I think it would do us well to learn is the word ignore. You know, not everything needs my input. Years ago, I'm an Alabama fan, football fan. I've loved the Crimson Tide all my life. And we've had a good run the last several years. And I have a Facebook friend who sometimes just likes to troll Alabama, likes to say negative things about Alabama. And for years, I would see something that he posted and it would drive me crazy and I would comment on it, you know, and that never ended well.
You always
and
took
I always
the bait.
Felt bad.
Yeah.
I took the bait. Yeah. And I always felt bad about it afterwards. And I'd probably delete my comment or what have you. But I was upset when I saw it. And we need to learn how to ignore. Not everything needs your input. Not everything needs, we don't have to have an opinion on everything, or we don't have to voice our opinion on everything. You know, I think that's another helpful thing that I'm still struggling with to this day, actually, is to how to ignore. Another thing, Brett, speaking of football, I'm sure you do, and many of your listeners are familiar with SEC football on CBS. Mm-hmm. And for years, Gary Danielson has been the color commentator on the SEC football broadcast.
Right.
And until the last few years, his partner was the legend, Vern Lundquist.
Mm-hmm.
Years ago, I have Facebook friends who, obviously, I have many Facebook friends who are Alabama fans, but also have Facebook friends who are fans of Auburn and other SEC teams. I even have a Tennessee fan or two, friend or two. And I noticed that I'd be watching an Alabama game or an SEC game, because I watched others, and I'd be kind of looking at Facebook while I was, and man, people were just piling on Vern Lundquist about how bad he was. And I'm like, I'm not really getting it. I don't understand why they're seeing, I'm just watching a football game. I'm not really paying that much attention to what he's saying. And then Gary Danielson, oh, he's awful, he's awful, he's awful. I'm like, I don't know, but I kind of thought some of the things he said kind of made sense. And I thought and I've been watching football a long time, Brett. So, I mean, I've been watching a lot of football games and broadcast games through the years. And I just couldn't get it. And I started realizing that what has happened is what I would call groupthink. Somebody started making negative comments towards those folks. And then before you know it, it became the thing to do. On Saturdays, you get on Facebook and you bash Vern Lundquist and Gary Danielson. And I think we have to protect ourselves as Christians against groupthink, of piling on. How much of what I believe is something that I have owned because I've studied it myself and I've considered it myself, what we might call critical thinking, versus just what the group thinks. And I think a lot of what I see today is groupthink. And your audience is predominantly Christian. And let's face it, not as many people from your audience or people from my congregation are watching MSNBC. More of them are watching Fox News or Newsmax or something like that. And what happens is we're so focused on, we have passion about certain things, and now we're being fed the line over and over and over again. And I think we would all do well to say, is this what I believe, or is this what I've been told to believe by my group? You know, I think group thinks it's a danger, and I think it leads us to places that we may not, that Christ may not want us to go.
I think that's a great point. I think we need to temper our media input in our lives. To your point, I listened to conservative talk radio several years ago, and I lean to the right. I lean conservative. And so it's kind of like I'm listening to things I want to hear that I agree with. But what was fascinating to me was I noticed that the more I listened, the angrier I got, and the more I was in a foul mood.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally recognized I had to stop. And when I stopped listening to conservative talk radio, to the people that at the time I, you know, probably agreed with 98% of the time, I had more joy in my life. I had less frustration, less moodiness, less anger. Because, and this isn't just conservative talk radio, both sides, like you were describing with the football illustration of the announcers, they pile on and love to spend time criticizing the other side. They spend as much time criticizing the other side as they do promoting the positives of their side. In fact, I shouldn't say as much. It's more, right? Because that sells. It's all about those advertising dollars. And there is no objectivity in media anymore. It's,
oh, by the way,
it's playing to their audience, what their audience wants to hear. And we're in silos. We're not listening to each other anymore. We're all in our silos, echoing each other, echo chambers, they're calling it these days. Listening to one another, affirming each other, and talking about how everybody else is wrong. And this is not the Christian way.
By the way, you could be watching the same football game. Let's say the third Saturday in October, Alabama and Tennessee are playing each other, and Gary Danielson is calling that game. I as you and I, if we were to pay attention to Facebook on that day and hear what people are saying, our Tennessee fans, friends, our Alabama friends, Tennessee friends were saying, Gary Danielson is so biased towards Alabama.
You got it.
And the Alabama fans are, every time Gary Danielson opens up his mouth, he's criticizing Alabama, talking about how great Tennessee is.
You got it. That's exactly right.
It's our perspective. it's the little league mom approach, right? My kid can do no wrong. If the call goes against my kid, it's wrong. You know, the refs are always against us. And so it's our group, and we don't have the opportunity to think objectively. We're so subjective. I don't understand it sometimes when people spend all the time, you know, criticizing refs or what have you. And every now and then I'll see a bad call. I'm like, oh, that's bad. You know, but I don't like lose sleep over it. You know, he missed the call, or maybe I would have called it different, and maybe the video says otherwise. But everybody thinks the ref is against them, or the announcers are against them. And I think we're being told in these cultural issues, even as Christians, they're against us. They're against us. They're against us because they're not on our side. They're not on our team. And that's dangerous because, you know, I think we start alienating ourselves from people who do not know Christ. We start burning bridges between us and people who do not know Christ. And that's not what Jesus did when he walked on this planet. He didn't go around and just talking about how all the tax collectors were against him. You know, he ministered to them. He got to know them. He spent time with them. And they changed because they were with him. You know, they had experienced the power of the gospel.
I'm going to, at this point, interrupt this portion of the conversation and say that we are out of time, and this discussion goes on for several more minutes. It is very fruitful, very interesting, and so I want to invite our listeners to join us again next week, where we will play the remainder of this discussion on this vital topic of Christians engaging in Christ-like, compassionate, understanding dialogue. So we're going to return next week and pick up the conversation with our guest, Greg Merks, on this important topic. Thanks for listening to this episode of Sound of Truth. If you enjoyed it, please rate and review it. Also, tell your friends about it. Thanks. Music is by Canon and is used by permission. Sound of Truth podcast is produced in collaboration with Harvest Jacksonville and is copyrighted by Brett A. Marani, 2023.